Morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. We're running a little late today. It's a Monday morning, but the passage that we're going to look at is a really practical one. I think you'll find it to be very encouraging and also a challenge in many ways. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're looking at verses 8 through 12. I'll read them, and then we'll talk about some of the content of this passage. There is one alone, there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warmed alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When we come to the passage that we're looking at, he's emphasizing the fact that when we talk about work, there are really two ways that we can work. We can work in isolation, or we can work in community. And what Solomon's going to emphasize in these verses is that when we work in isolation, that's a very dangerous place to be in. It's an empty place to be in. And so we should prefer working with others as opposed to working alone. So when we summarize the passage in front of us, we see it this way. We need partners in our labors. God actually designed us as people with limitations so that we would learn to work with other people. And as we work together, it would actually heighten our joys. It would expand our abilities to accomplish things. Our strengths would be heightened through those things. And so that's really what Solomon's going to emphasize in the passage. Let's look at some of the details this morning and just think about how we can practically apply what's here. The first truth is this: isolation is empty. And verse 80 says, there is one alone, there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Now, you know, it's really interesting. It's a lot easier to move through life alone in some ways. In fact, it's interesting. There's an African proverb that I remember people talking about when we lived over in Ghana. And they would say, if you're going a short distance, travel alone. And if you want to go quickly, travel alone. If you want to go a long distance and you want to stay out a long time, then go with somebody. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But the idea is that you can move quickly when you're by yourself. You can get things done quickly, but you won't get as much accomplished. You won't go as far. And the reason for that is when we're in isolation, while we are less encumbered, we're also less able to plod through the challenges and the difficulties. When we need that encouragement, we won't have it. And so he really emphasizes the emptiness of being alone. You know, it's so interesting. As I'm doing this study, I can hear lots of activity going on upstairs. There's busyness in the house because all the kids are up and they're getting ready for school and they're putting dishes in the dishwasher and all those kinds of things. Well, the reality is that being alone is simpler, but being alone has tremendous limitations and tremendous emptiness. And that's what he's going to emphasize here. He actually says it four different ways to kind of give us a really strong sense of what he's trying to accomplish. The first phrase is, alone there is not a second, neither child nor brother. He's emphasizing the emptiness and the loneliness of that position. He says there's no end of all his labors. Even though this person is living by himself and his life is simpler and he can do things faster, he still has to work over and over and over again. It's an endless cycle that he's dealing with. He really cannot escape that drudgery of that cycle that we deal with in many areas of life. The third phrase that he uses is, he says, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. In other words, just because somebody's doing things alone and they can do things faster doesn't mean that he's satisfied more quickly. The fact is that the same kinds of challenges that a person faces who has all of the issues of working through problems and challenges with other people, the person in isolation deals with those things too. He's going to deal with an endless cycle of work. He's going to deal with the fact that he'll never be fully satisfied with the material things that he's interacting with. And then he asks this question. He says, who do I labor for? For whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? He says, you know, I'm doing all this work and I don't have anybody to do it with. I don't have anything to I don't have anyone to leave these things with. The fruit of my labors, I'm enjoying by myself, not with someone else. And so it's an emptiness. And the way he puts it is, this is a vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. So then Solomon goes from that statement, dealing with isolation, being empty, to saying, listen, two are better than one. And that's exactly the way he puts it in verse 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labors. Basically, what he's saying is when two people can learn to work together, then the joy they experience, the strength that they experience, the consistency they experience is heightened because they're working together. And this is how he puts it. First of all, there's greater strength when people work together. He says, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. You know, how many times are we going through life and we're doing great at what we're doing, and then we come across a sticking point and we stumble at that sticking point? Many times, if we're by ourselves, what do? We quit. But when we have somebody alongside of us who is not fallen and is not discouraged and is not frustrated, what do? They encourage us. They build us up. And as they build us up and encourage us, we get that re-energizing to step forward and do what we need to do. And instead of falling back and quitting, we press forward and we learn a lesson and we get past that sticking point. And what happens? We're able to accomplish far more. He's emphasizing that there's a strength when we have somebody else to work with us. The second phrase that stands out, there's a physical benefit to the presence of another person. And he uses such a practical, simple illustration. He says, if two people lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warmed alone? You know, how many times have we gone camping? Maybe you're not a camper, but our family likes to camp. And the truth is that when you go camping and it's cold, because you know that's the best time of the year, the bugs aren't so bad, and you can actually sit by the fire instead of pouring sweat, you're actually enjoying the fire. Well, when it's cold when you go camping and you're by yourself, you're freezing. But when you have somebody else who's there to stay warm with you, that warmth is there. But really, he's using this as an illustration of the way that life works. We actually mutually encourage and strengthen one another. We think about something as simple as the local church community. When people come together for church and they're sitting under the ministry of the word and there are other Christians there and they're listening to the same sermon and they're looking at the same text and they're singing the same hymns together and they're gathered together in corporate prayer together. You know what's really amazing? A person that has a hard time praying by themselves is able to pray alongside other people, and they are much more focused when they're doing it. A person that doesn't like to sing, but when they're in that congregation assembly and everyone around them is singing praise to God, they're emboldened and they're strengthened. When people walk out of that service and they're talking about the passage that they've been looking at and they're sharing things that the Lord has taught them through that, guess what? That stimulates conversation, that encourages and strengthens people. So he takes a physical illustration, body heat, such a simple thing, to illustrate a point that there is a benefit to being around other people. We are actually encouraged and exhorted and strengthened by that interaction with others. A third thing that he mentioned, so practical, there's greater protection. He says, if one prevails against him, then two shall withstand him. The idea is you're walking down the street by yourself and somebody comes and attacks you. It's you against them. And there's the element of surprise. And you may not be able to withstand that person because they surprise you, they're stronger, whatever the situation. But when two people are walking together down the street and one person decides he's going to take this person on and, you know, whatever, I'm going to try to pick that person's pocket, however the situation goes down. Well, the idea is that one person, that is the aggressor, is being withstood not by one person, but two. And it's a totally different scenario. And the reality is that if you're walking down the street by yourself, you're vulnerable. When you're walking down the street with a partner, guess what? people are going to leave you alone if they have ill intent towards you. Why? Because they know practically that a person in isolation is vulnerable. A person who has another person with them has strength in numbers. And so he talks about that element of the fact of being together. The fourth thing that he mentions is a really interesting illustration, and I hope that it really sticks with you. The intertwining of our strengths provide tremendous strength. He says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, I remember when I was in college, my pastor at the time gave an illustration about this particular statement in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I remember he took a stick and he called up a college student. He said, I want you to take that stick and I want you to snap it. It was basically like a dowel rod. And the kid snapped it like it was nothing. He said, okay, I want you to take a second dowel rod and take it and snap it. It was a very simple task. He said, I want you to take a third one. And he said, snap it. And the kid snapped it like it was nothing. He said, okay, you have easily snapped three dowel rods. No problem. He said, but I'm going to do something here. I'm going to take three new dowel rods, the same wooden substance, same strength, same size, everything. I'm going to tie them together. And he said, I want you to break the three dowel rods together. And the kid took those three dowel rods, and he couldn't snap them. Maybe the problem was the kid just wasn't very strong. No, the real problem was that once those three pieces were put together, they were now not the strength of one, but the strength of three. And he said, that's what the proverb is illustrating here. That's what the statement in Ecclesiastes is illustrating. The intertwining of our strengths gives a tremendous strength that is far greater than our greatest strengths in isolation. In other words, we have to learn to work together. What's really interesting is God created all of us with limits and with needs for one another. And we see this in marriage and family. We see this in the church. God created the family. He takes husband. He takes wife. You know, when God created male and female, he didn't just create us physically different, but he created us different in a lot of ways. And the reality is that when a man and a woman come together and are married, and God created them with those differences were meant to come together in the context of family life to really aid in the development of their children that God would give them. In other words, mom raising kids alone is not going to be like mom and dad raising kids together. Dad raising kids alone is not going to be like raising mom with mom and dad raising kids together. Why is that? Because the intertwining of those strengths, those unique differences, those unique perspectives is going to give all of what those kids need to develop properly. And so when God creates marriage and God creates family, when God creates the church, he created us with all of these individual differences because he wanted us to come together. And he wanted us to work together, and he wanted to heighten the strength and the potential of what could be accomplished to those individuals. When we talk about the church, God actually says, I give differing gifts to people according to my will and my wisdom, and I join them together into the body so that together they will work to accomplish far more. In other words, those differences that have a tendency to frustrate us and to divide us are actually meant to be the intertwining of strengths that give far greater strength and far greater, a lot more is able to be accomplished through those people coming together and working together. God actually on purpose made us that way and put us together on purpose that way so that he could accomplish more through us in community rather than in isolation. So I want to be really practical this morning and just challenge you with what's in front of us. The first thing is this. Because we're flawed and we live in a fallen world, working with other people is tough. It really is. You know, marriage is a tremendous blessing, but there are times in every single marriage that because of the differences in perspective and personality and whatever it is, that marriage can come under a lot of pressure. And you know what? Those differences that are meant to be blessings that really gives strength to that marriage can potentially, if we're not willing to work through them and we're not willing to work through them in a godly way, they can actually be the things that divide us and cause us to pull back into our corners in isolation. And so we have to learn to work together so that we can actually put our labors together in community to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And we can see that in church life. We can see that in a business structure. We can see that really in any area where you have people that need to work together. The second thing is this. This is what we need. It is so easy to pull away from people when we become offended or when we become frustrated or when we don't understand their perspective or what they're trying to accomplish, or we come across sticking points, and we have to learn to work together. We need to do that. God created us in order to actually do that. And then the third practical thing I want to mention is this. We need to learn to work with others. And if we do it, we will learn to enjoy greater levels of strength, heightened senses of joy, and we will experience mutual encouragement in teamwork. This is such an important concept. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to experience joy. God wants us to persevere through trials. But he knows that the best way we can do that is when we do that with others. And so I hope that this morning, as you think about the people that God has put in your life, the people that are your friends, your family, your church family, the people that you work with, that you would recognize that those differences that are between you are really things that God can use if we will be humble and we'll be willing to work through things with others. If we do that, we can actually accomplish far more through the work that God does in us as a group. And I hope that that'll be a challenge to you. If this has been a challenge to you, please share that. Please share that maybe with some of your friends. And I look forward to, Lord willing, tomorrow being able to continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, it's been good to study this passage together. Very practical, very encouraging. Help us to live in the light of these truths. Help us to work past the challenges that we face when we work with other people and recognize that if we will work through those things, there is far more potential for strength, for joy, and encouragement. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, hope you have a wonderful morning, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Bye now.